And my wife said, well, I don't suffer when other people suffer. Did any of you suffer when I cut my finger?
No.
No. And I got to thinking about that. I mean, when the missionaries are suffering on the field, are you suffering? And yet the scriptures tell us when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member of our church is suffering, do we all suffer? And I thought about that for a while. And I don't know if I have an answer or not. I asked Patty Overly this morning how she's feeling now that she's quit her job. And she said, I feel awesome. And I said something to this effect. You really didn't know how difficult it was or how bad you were before you feel good. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's like that. You don't realize that there's a... as I age, I know this, that I think I can do a lot more than I can. You know what I mean? I mean, I think I can go out there and tackle the world until I get out there, and then I know I can't. But I feel like I can and realize that I don't have what I had before. And sometimes, I'll give you one more illustration, the only thing I know how. If you have a car and you're driving it and it seems all right, but you take it to the garage and the mechanic says, well, your carburetor has been blocked up, but you're not getting the full power of it, it's sluggish. And you get back in the car after he fixes it and you realize that that car wasn't operating 100%. You know what I mean? It was really very sluggish. You know, I think the church is like that. I think we don't sense that we're not operating on all 8 cylinders or 6 cylinders. You know what I mean? We're only operating on about half of that. We're not really what we should be. And I think when one member of the body suffers, whether it's here in our local church or whether it's in another church or whether it's across the continent or on another continent, we are suffering in that manner. We're just not operating the way we ought to operate. So that when one member suffers, we all suffer. Don't think it, don't feel it, but we are. The truth is the truth, and I believe that that scripture is truth, and that's the only way I know to explain that particular truth. But anyway, I don't know if that satisfied my wife. She kept asking me about it and explained it over, and I don't know another explanation. Anybody have a better explanation, Barry?
I missed the question,
John. Oh, you were sleeping, huh? When one member suffers, we all suffer. Is that correct? Did you feel like you were suffering when someone else is suffering?
I saw your bandage. I didn't.
Yeah, I know you did. I know. I get a backache. Suffer with Sharon? I mean, she can't see out of the one eye very well. Doesn't affect me, does it? Dan? I wish that were true. It's not always true, is it? No, it's not always true. And I think that in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at, we've looked at a couple of things, but I missed one here somewhere. I guess I don't have it on here. But I gave you a thing. In this passage it says that I may know him. And we talked about that, and the fact that the word know there is gnosko, and it has the idea of an intimate relationship. And when we enter into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and Paul's desire was to enter into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's been saved for, what, 30 years? I mean, he spent 2.5 or 3 years in the desert of Arabia with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, 30 years later, he says, I still want to know him. I have a desire to know him in an intimate way. And it's a growing situation. I've shared with you, and you all know this, when you're married, you learn something about your spouse, and it's a growing process. You learn something new each day about the person that you live with and things that you didn't see before. And I see that in my wife. I see the compassion that she has, and I see more and more of the compassion and love that she has for people. And it amazes me. I wish I had that compassion. But the more I get to know her, the more in entering into that intimate relationship that we have, I learn to know her better. And that's true with one another. I learn to know you better as we relate to one another in a personal relationship and desire to know you in a more intimate way. But more important than that is to know Jesus Christ in an intimate way. And to come to a place where you sense His being with you. He's in you. And you know Him, and you know how He feels, you know how He responds, and you know everything about Him, and it's a growing process. And you'll never come to an end of knowing that because He's infinite. And so we want to know Him, and as a result of knowing Him, then there will be power released in our life, the power of the resurrection. And we went through that great power, that dynamite power, that dunamis that we talked about, that inherent power that's in us. Christ is living in us, and He's a power within our bodies. And He's given us His Word, which is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we believe that, and I've told you this and taught you this over the years, that book, this book is very powerful. It's filled packed with power. But if you don't believe it, it doesn't do you any good. And you have to believe the Word in order for it to release its power in your life. And you have to believe in Jesus Christ in order for Him to release His power in your life. And when we know Him and we begin to experience, this is an experiential experience that we have with Him, experience the power of His resurrection in our lives. You see God working and you see how He works and how He conquers the flesh and deals with our flesh. Deals with our thought pattern, and we bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ and every imagination. And so as we're walking in this relationship with Him, we begin to experience, as we know Him, we begin to experience His power. And not only do we experience His power, but that power then becomes the instrument that God uses to bring suffering in our lives. You walk with the Lord, and you're in fellowship with Him. And there will be a response from Satan because he doesn't want you to walk as Christ walked. He doesn't want you to walk like Paul walked. He'd rather you cower in the corner somewhere. But you see, when there's power of His resurrection in your life, then the persecution and the suffering will come. Now, we went through all that last week, and I passed out that list. I'm not going to go over it again. I give you the things, some sufferings are deserved. Most of the suffering we go through is undeserved. And there's reasons for suffering. We went through that. There's reasons why we suffer on that list. And you ought to look at that and study that when you go through suffering. But we're going to look at this word suffering this morning. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at the word fellowship. The word fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia, as I have here, it means fellowship or community or communion or joint participation. It has all those ideas involved in it. It is to share with one another in anything. And we're going to share in His sufferings. Now, I mentioned that to you last week, I think, but you notice the plural there. It's not just one thing, and we'll look at that a little bit later. But this suffering, this word koinonia is used of a relationship of believers with one another. You and I, we have a fellowship, and when we... in the morning we have coffee break, and we go downstairs and we stand around and we talk with one another and we share with one another, and there's some fellowship. But that's not all the fellowship. I'm going to be bringing that out. There's much more to fellowship than that. And not only is it fellowship with other believers, but it's also fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so when you're going through this process of knowing Him and experiencing the power of His resurrection, then we begin to experience the suffering. And by the way, we've been appointed to those things. That's not unusual for us. What is interesting, and I looked this up, the word koinonia is found 20 times in the New Testament. I think there's 11 other uses of this word as a verb and in a combination with the word soon. It means together. So of the 28 times it's used, you don't find it outside... You don't find it before Acts chapter 2, nor do you find it after 1 John chapter 5. And as I looked at that, I began to think, you know what? We have a unique thing going for us. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ as no other group of people have ever had. And we have a fellowship with one another, not like Israel had, but a different type of fellowship. A fellowship that is not only with one another, but with Jesus Christ. It centers in Him. A very unique thing. Will you turn to 1 John chapter 1 with me? 1 John chapter 1. Very quickly. In verse 3. 1 John 1, 3. We belong to one another. That's what we're in partnerships with one another. We are companions with one another. But notice what he says, that which we have seen and heard, this is verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, we declare unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. See, it's not just downstairs when we drink coffee and eat some rolls or whatever we have down there to offer in the morning. But it's fellowship with one another. And it's with Jesus Christ. It centers in Him. And if our fellowship is not centered in Him, it's not true fellowship. See, our fellowship with one another is precipitated by our fellowship with Him. If you don't have fellowship with Him, you ain't going to have fellowship with another believer. I think we have a unique thing here at Bougainville. We've been together for a good number of years, and we're family. We really are family. I mean, you are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I dread the day when I have to retire. I'm going to miss you guys. I told you when I leave this church, I have to leave it. I can't stay here. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any other family but you. I have some relatives, but that's all they are. What could I do without you? So I dread that day when it comes. I hope I'm senile when I go out. You know what I mean? I don't know. The fellowship is not just enjoying one another. I mean, that's important. That's an important aspect of it. But it's not an hour or two at church. It's a mutual sharing of all aspects of our lives with Christ and with one another. We share our needs and our prayers. And we respond when God answers our prayers, and we rejoice with them. We suffer when others are suffering, because we're family. See, the sharing with one another really has eternal ramifications. This is not just for time, but this is for eternity. And we're brothers and sisters, not just for this life, but forever. If you can't stand me now, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. I wrote in my notes, and don't turn there, but I'll read it to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, I want to read this to you. For all things, and Paul referring back for all things, that's the things that he suffered in his ministry, on their behalf and on the other believers' behalf. He says, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. It's eternal. While we look at the things which are seen, which we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, you can't see it. You know it's there. You experience knowing Him. You experience the power of His resurrection. You experience the sufferings in your life, the sufferings for His sake. Those have eternal weights of glory. And we do this together. It saddens me when I get an email that Derek is hurting. It saddens me when I have to pray for Sharon with the problems that she's had. It saddens me when I have to pray for Donnie. It saddens me that I'll pray for you, Rick. Because when you suffer, I suffer. And when he suffers, we all suffer. But you see, God is faithful. And this is what 1 Corinthians 1:9 says. God is faithful for, by whom you are called in the fellowship with, of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's where we come. That's where we're at. When God called us into salvation, He called us into a fellowship with one another. The church is His body. I want to tell you, when I hurt my finger, I danced around a little bit. I mean, I was holding it for all my might. I mean, it was bleeding, and it ached, and it went through my whole body. The first thing I thought is, how stupid are you? I take the bandage off at night to let the air get in on it, keep stuff on it during the day, and it throbs. You know what I mean? I mean, that throbbing sensation. Every beat of your heart that goes through that thing, and it aches. And it felt throughout my whole body. It's our body. That's our church. That's the body of Christ as we suffer. Part of that suffering, or I'm sorry, a part of that fellowship is walking with Him in the light. In 1 John 1:6-7, again, it's if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. By the way, that word if there is a third class condition. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. There are four class conditions in the Greek. The first class condition is a condition of reality. It, in fact, has happened. Oftentimes, I translate that for you as since. So the Greek words are different, so I can tell that. You can't see it in the English. There's a first class condition. There's a second class condition. A second class condition is if, and it's not true. If I were a billionaire, I'm not. But if I were a billionaire, you see, that's a fourth class condition. I would share it with all of you. I'd give you all $1 million. But I'm not, so you're not going to get it. A third class condition says, maybe I will, maybe I won't. A fourth class condition is a condition of slight possibility, very slight possibility, slim chance. We used it last week. I'll look at it again this morning if we get a chance. But again, the possibility there. In 1 John 1, it's a third class condition. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. If we suffer, if we have fellowship, I'm sorry, if we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness and we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need this fellowship with one another. We need it. It's important. Suffering is plural. I mentioned that to you before. The word suffering, I gave you all these verses, and I didn't put them up there. So you stick with me. 1 John 1:3, 2 Corinthians, I mentioned 1 Corinthians, 1 John. Suffering, the word there is pathema. Pathema. It means to undergo something. Something undergone, that is a hardship or a pain or an affliction or some kind of suffering that you go through. It comes from the word pathos, which means, refers to something that comes upon you, whether it's a calamity or a mishap or an evil or an affliction, something that just happens. Joanne cut her fingers. That's something just happens, a calamity that took place in your life. That word would be used in regard to that. The word suffering refers to something undergone, such as a hardship or affliction or a pain or a suffering. We all go through those time to time. I want you to notice something in this verse. It's a fellowship with his sufferings. His sufferings. Not our sufferings, but his sufferings. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. It's a plural. You know, when in Acts chapter 5, remember the apostles are brought before the Sanhedrin and they were warned not to preach in the name of Jesus in that name again. And the Sanhedrin beat them and then sent them away, dismissed them. And their response to that beating was that they were glad to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. I think it goes something like this. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. So they were suffering for Jesus Christ. They weren't suffering for themselves. They were suffering for Jesus Christ. Where their suffering's a little bit different. I won't go into that with you. But again, notice the plural. This is fellowship of his sufferings, which refers not just to his sufferings on the cross. Now, Peter had a great desire to die like the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't want to die like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to die upside down. And when he was crucified, we're told, tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down. Whether true or not, I don't know. He had a desire to die like Jesus Christ, to suffer like Jesus Christ. But it includes much more than that. Not just talking about him being nailed on the cross and the hands and the feet pierced with nails and the stripes that he received and the thorn placed on his head. Much more than that. He suffered not only physical abuse and death, but he also suffered ridicule. He suffered denial and gossip, hatred, envy, jealousy. People looked at him and they despised that man, and anything they could find against him, they found against him. He suffered from hunger and thirst. He didn't even have a place to lay his head at night. But worse than all of that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The suffering that must have taken place when he hung on that cross and he took our sins upon him. I can't imagine what that would be like. None of us could. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. I told you when I was growing up, my parents had a restaurant. And I sort of was a gopher and a doer, I guess, in some respects. And one of the worst jobs I had to do was to clean out the garbage cans. I told you this story before. And particularly in the summer, it was awful. I mean, I had to stick my head in that garbage can with a hose and a wire brush and scrub the inside of that garbage can. I want to tell you, that wasn't a very pleasant job. And I had about 7 or 8 garbage cans that I had to do that. And about every 2 or 3 weeks, I'd go out there and I'd get the hose out and we'd scrub them. And then I'd brush them and rinse them off and get in there and where I missed. And I didn't like that. I mean, it's just displeasing. I can't imagine what it was like for Jesus Christ to take upon himself the form of a human being. And then to go to that cross and suffer. I can't imagine the sufferings that he endured while he was going to the cross. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. My time is up. Let me go through this verse, all right, with you very quickly. I'll hold you just a few minutes over. For as the sufferings, do you notice the plural there? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds, dia, through Christ. And whether That word weather there is the formation of a first-class condition, a condition of reality. For since we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether, again, a first-class condition, a condition of reality, since we are comforted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so will also of the consolation. When we suffer for Christ, we enter into the fellowship of His sufferings, not only with ourselves, but with other believers, and we are become partakers of His comfort or consolation. And we share that. That's a part of the fellowship that we have. Not only to suffer and feel those sufferings of others, but also the consolation that we have. How we can comfort one another. When you go through something that I've experienced, I know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to be blind in one eye. I do know what it means to have a bad back. An ache. I don't know what it means to be told that you have cancer. Because I've never experienced that. Well, skin cancer a little bit. I don't know what it's like for Rick. I'm going to be praying for Rick, by the way. He still has that blood clot in his leg. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to stand up for a couple hours and then just ache and throb and you have to sit down. You can't stand any longer. But I can tell you what it's like to have a bad back, and I can tell you that I feel for you. And that God has comforted me through my problems. I don't know what it's like for Sarge to go through what he went through. Or John, or many of you. But when someone else has that same kind of affliction, I want to tell you what. A lot of consolation comes. A lot of comfort comes. And we have a fellowship. We fellowship in His sufferings, but we also experience the consolation, the comfort. The way that word consolation and comfort is the word parakaleo. Para means together with. Kaleo means call. We've been called together for that very purpose, to comfort, to share with one another. That's our fellowship. Father, we thank You this morning for the time that we're able to spend together. Thank You for Your love and mercy and grace. We thank You for bringing us together, for the fellowship that You've given to us as a family. And Father, may we feel ache that others have, and the pain that they go through, the suffering that they go through, that we might not only share in that, but we also might share in the consolation. And Father, as we leave this building this morning, we must be reminded of our relationship with one another. We do belong to You. Father, that we're called to suffer for Your name's sake. So we thank You this morning for these truths that You've given to us, and we pray as we study that they might become true in our lives, that this fellowship might be a reality, that the power of the resurrection might be a reality, that we might know You in an intimate way. And we'll thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You are